securing the last night of the year. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Law enforcement is doing that across the country.
People should be aware of their surroundings. It sounds a little trite, but if you see something, say something, you can really make a difference.
Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin. Next hour, they'll do a test of the ball drop in New York's Times Square, while in New Orleans, the National Guard's deploying today to bolster security there. As Fox's David Spunt reports, a year after
the attack in New Orleans, Louisiana, just hours after 2025 officially rang in, a suspect drove a truck into a crowd, killing 14 innocent people.
That terrorist driver crashed and then was shot by police.
Earlier this month in California, the FBI announced a foiled plot in the southern part of the state where suspects planned to plant bombs to go off on New Year's Eve in Southern California in various communities. Five people were arrested.
2 days after a meeting at the Trump Florida resort, Ukraine's leader Volodymyr Zelensky has told reporters in a chat online he's discussing with the president a possible U.S. troop presence in Ukraine as they discuss a peace plan trying to stop Russia's war. The U.S. military continues to target terrorists in Syria, saying this morning since the December 19th strike, retaliating to a terror attack that killed three Americans, U.S. forces have killed or captured nearly 25 ISIS operatives in that country. There's a new attempt to solve one of aviation's biggest mysteries. A U.S.-based company called Ocean Infinity is starting a new search today for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 that vanished shortly after takeoff from Kuala Lumpur in March 2014. Last seen on radar veering far off coast.
Other than a few small pieces of the plane that have washed up on the coast of eastern Africa and on islands in the Indian Ocean, no real answers have been found as theories of sabotage or suicide by pilot filled the void.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. If they finally find the plane, the Malaysian government will pay the company $70 million. All 239 people on board are presumed dead. America's listening to Fox News.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-393-1881. That's 800-393-1881. 800-393-1881.
Brian Cole Jr. is due in court in a few hours to face charges that he's the one who planted pipe bombs in Washington, D.C., outside the Republican and Democratic Party's headquarters. They never went off and were found January 5th, 2021, the night before the infamous Capitol riot. And speaking of that, Democrats are ready to put a spotlight on that day.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is asking members if they'd like to provide testimony at a hearing looking at the Trump administration's impact on elections on the fifth anniversary of the January 6th Capitol riot. In a Dear Colleagues letter, Jeffries says the hearing will look at ongoing threats to free and fair elections and threats to public safety posed by, quote, the hundreds of violent felons who were pardoned on the president's first day in office. The pardons were issued to January 6 defendants convicted during the Biden administration. The hearing is scheduled when lawmakers return to D.C. next week. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
They have found the worst they feared in the search for a missing woman off the California coast.
The Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office confirming rescue teams recovered the body of Erica Fox after a suspected shark attack near Lover's Point. The 55-year-old disappeared off the coast of Monterey, California on December 21st while taking part in a weekly swim with a swim club. The U.S. Coast Guard suspending a search and rescue operation after covering more than 80 miles. Fox's family telling local media they identified her body based on the clothing she was wearing and a shark deterrent band she wore on her ankle. Sarah Rudin, a friend of Fox who edits the Monterey County Weekly, writing Fox found peace in the Pacific Ocean, calling her a bright light of a person who was quick to laugh and seemed to be always smiling. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. On the second to the last trading day of the year, the Dow is dropping 84 points, but the NASDAQ is up 12. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Ready to say goodbye to pain and hello to a healthier you? Dixie Chiropractic has your back. Unwind with decompression and laser therapy. It's like a spa day for your spine. Kick arthritis and inflammation to the curb with PRP and ozone therapy. And tackle chronic pain head on with Calmarine therapy. Finally, relief that lasts. At Dixie Chiro, Dr. Ward Wagner and our team blend cutting-edge tech with compassionate care, ensuring you feel your best. Call Dixie Chiro at 435-673-1443 and live life pain-free. DixieChiro.com.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
When the power goes out, don't be left in the dark. Hedgehog Electric and Solar installs Generac standby generators that keep your home running automatically. From lights and refrigerators to heating, cooling, even medical equipment, your home stays powered, safe, and comfortable. And with Hedgehog's trusted local electricians, installation and maintenance are done right the first time. Visit hedgehogelectric.com/generator today for more info.
Hedgehog Electric and Solar.
Time is running out. The 30% federal solar tax credit ends December 31st. That means thousands of dollars in savings gone. If your solar system isn't installed and running before the deadline, Hedgehog Electric and Solar makes switching to solar simple, affordable, and worry-free. But you've got to act fast. Permits, installation, and inspections all take time. Don't wait. Take the first step by visiting hedgehogelectric.com today. And for your free 4-minute quote,
Hedgehog Electric and Solar.
Uh-oh, your fridge just made a noise no fridge should ever make. Your dryer, it decided it's a sauna. And your dishwasher, ha, it's staging a rebellion. Relax and call David Swan Appliance Repair. He's local, shows up fast, fixes things right, and won't charge an arm and a leg. He's the guy your appliances wish you'd call sooner. So, do your future self a favor and save this number right now. 435-359-2768. That's 435-359-2768. David Swan Appliance Repair, because broken stuff happens.
One of these days we're all mentally on vacation and we are just feeling like, I don't know, tomorrow's New Year's Eve, the next day's New Year's Day, then it's Friday, and who knows. All right, this is Southern U Talk with me, Dale Desmond. We're going to get to a ton of different things in this hour. I hope we have time for it. We're going to have to shoehorn some stuff in here. If you know what a shoehorn is, you're my kind of people. If you don't know what a shoehorn is, ChatGPT will have to dig it up for you. I'm getting to that point where, you have to sit down to put your shoes on. I'm going to be 49 next year. And yeah, it's that point in my life. I went to the gym yesterday. I made it through a total of hour long workout. In a sauna and came out completely dripping wet. I feel a little sore today, but I feel good. But I'm 48 years old and I can still make it through a full hour workout. I'm feeling good about that. If you guys have any thoughts throughout the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can always text me. You can call me, 435-261-4540 is the text line. We'd love to hear your thoughts on a couple of different things we're going to chat about this hour. The phone lines are open, 673-5890, 673-5890. Going into New Year's Day, New Year's Eve today. First thing I want to start with, yesterday as we were going off the air, as we finished up the show right at 10 o'clock, Tyler Robinson's judge convened to go over a couple of motions. One of which was to go over whether or not they're going to allow cameras in the courtrooms. In the courtroom for Tyler Robinson's case, allegedly accused of shooting Charlie Kirk at UVU back in September. The judge, Tony Graff, said, I'm not really going to make a decision. He kind of danced around whether or not to allow cameras in the courtroom. And yesterday, ahead of this, we knew there was going to be a decision made, and there wasn't. It was a non-decision. A lot of you had lots of thoughts on this about whether or not cameras should be allowed in the courtroom. And everybody texting in said, that's a dumb question. Of course you should. Of course we should have cameras in the courtroom. Others said cameras should absolutely be allowed in the court. I agree that with Erica Kirk's sentiment that she said Charlie's death was televised and public, and all the facts should be made public as well. So a lot of folks saying it's a public hearing. Why would it not be on TV? Why would it not have cameras in the courtroom? And it was interesting because I felt the same way. I felt like, well, duh, if any of us were in Provo, of course we could just walk into the courtroom, assuming there was room, assuming there was a seat available. Of course we would go in there, and of course we would be able to go and watch a public hearing, any public hearing, unless there's some dangerous reason why any hearing, whether it is, sensitive information that is not for public consumption for whatever reason. But then yesterday I called a friend of mine who is a former judge, former attorney, well, I guess current attorney, former judge here in Southern Utah, and I ran the idea by him. Why would you not have cameras in the courtroom? And yesterday on the show, I said, I think the only reason I can think of is it would turn into something like a spectacle like the OJ trial that'll take a year so that all of the courtroom lawyers can get in front of the camera and get the notoriety and the publicity, the free publicity that they desire. And they end up posturing to the camera more than they end up trying the case. I said that yesterday on the air. Then I talked to my friend who's a former judge, and he said, you end up seeing the lawyers posturing to the camera and performing that rather than trying the case. And I thought, wow, there's twice in my life I was right about something. This is great. I couldn't believe it. What is interesting about that, if you go back, Rob Kardashian, some guy named Rob Kardashian was one of OJ's trial lawyers, one of his defense attorneys. Can you imagine what would have happened if OJ trial had not had courtroom cameras, and we never heard the term Rob Kardashian, or it was just in a long list of other lawyers? Could you imagine the world without the Kardashians? What a wonderful place it would be. I'm pretty sure some of that was really specifically mentioned in the book of Revelation, but I digress. But it was interesting. He said, my friend in the legal world said, I would severely hesitate to allow cameras in the courtroom because it ends up being a spectacle, a TV show rather than a trial for somebody's life. This isn't just a shoplifting thing. This isn't a fender bender. This isn't a breaking and entering or stealing a car. Tyler Robinson's life hangs in the balance. And does that mean that having courtroom cameras, does that change how the trial is tried, how it progresses, and does that affect whether or not Tyler Robinson lives or dies? What do you guys think? Should we have cameras in the courtrooms? You can text me 435-261-4540 or phone lines are open 673-5890, 673-5890. If it's busy, just keep trying. Let's get to the phones. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kelly.
Kelly, how are you this morning, my dear?
I'm great.
All right.
I have an opinion about this because during the high-profile cases we've seen in the nation, especially the OJ thing, you're probably not old enough, didn't watch the
whole
thing.
I was just out of high school. I graduated in 95, so yes, I was.
But the question is, did you watch the whole thing?
I watched a lot of it, yeah. I was just out of high school and partially unemployed, so I had plenty of time.
It literally changed the outcome, in my opinion, of the verdict and the whole thing. And whenever a high-profile trial takes place with cameras in there, everybody behaves different.
Yeah.
The attorneys behave different. They're in it for whatever they're in it, whatever they get out of it. It's different than just getting justice.
Yeah.
They love the notoriety. The media, as corrupt as the media is, sorry, media person, but it's true. I'm a media person. And the media is corrupt. And
hey, take that personally. Come on.
Well, it's not the DJ, or it's not you.
Yeah.
It's the overall media culture that it leans one way. And so they have a stake in it, and everybody has their own little stake and their own little outcome they
ulterior,
want.
Ulterior it, motive, right?
It changes the outcomes. It changes the look at Charlie Kirk. He paid the ultimate price. Do you want the media or the culture to have a decision in what happens with him being innocent or guilty? I don't.
Yeah, can it sway things? Does it make things different? Can we still have accountability? My friend yesterday that I talked to, he said what happens is you end up, if you allow these things, then you end up having a lot of I can't remember the term he used, but basically these mantras or things that people stand for getting put out there that I don't know why it wouldn't get put out there anyway if it's a public record, right?
Yeah, exactly. But here's the other thing is if you allow the culture to determine whether he's innocent or guilty, you've lost the battle because and the jurors. The jurors in the OJ thing, it all became race and payback from the riots in L.A. Yeah. They admit it.
Yeah.
They admit it.
I remember, let's see, I would, what do you think about, and maybe that's the thing, no, you don't allow courtroom cameras in the pretrial things, but then once the jury is seated, does that change anything? You know what I mean? Like, does that, once the trial has started or once it starts, then you can have cameras in there to allow, you know, public viewing of it, but in the pre-trial to keep from jurors being tainted ahead of time.
Yeah, that's a possibility, Dale, but you're still affecting the behavior of the attorneys and even the judge. They're on camera. They're looking at appeals. They're doing everything they can to cover themselves, and that's fine, but I just think it changes the behavior.
So you're a vote no? You don't think we should have cameras for Tyler Robinson's trial?
I think that's correct.
Okay.
And just one more thing.
Yeah.
You're already having the culture say, oh, there's a conspiracy here. People are coming up with their own conspiracy theories already.
Yeah.
The police have laid it all out, how the police believe it happened, which is what I believe happened. And then you bring in everybody's notion of, well, they're not telling us everything. They better let us in the courtroom because there's conspiracies. You're kind of losing the battle already, is my opinion.
Yeah. Do you believe he acted alone?
Probably.
Okay.
I think they could have picked up tracks on you know, more than him involved. I think at face value, it's probably just him in this relationship where he felt strongly one way and decided to make a name for himself. And I watch him in these pretrial, his behavior, and he's smiling.
Yeah.
I'm always like, welcome to jail for the rest of your life.
Very right,
kids.
At least.
You know,
at least.
You got all this notoriety. Was it worth it for you? He's still smiling,
yeah.
Which tells me something. So, anyway.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I'd love to hear your opinions as we go forward. Thank you for that. You guys can all love to hear from you guys. 435-673-5890, 673-5890. Lines are open. You can also text in 435-261-4540. There's a scenario, and maybe I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't read into a lot of conspiracy theories. I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, I found all this stuff. Ah, maybe I just don't have time for it. Maybe I don't know. I don't go to social media for my news sources. I'm very picky about where I trust and believe news. But let's say there's a scenario at some point where it turns out Tyler Robinson is just a hitman, but the puppet, and who's controlling the hand, right? And then movement gets more notoriety. Maybe that's crazy, but that's what I think people are saying. Things like that he didn't act alone, that he was part of. He was kind of the tip of the spear from a long, long spear from people wanting to silence Charlie Kirk from other parts of the world, the country, or maybe he acted alone, and who knows. I don't know if it makes a difference, but maybe it does. And the people that are farther up the food chain will certainly decide this and decide whether or not Charlie Kirk's trial has cameras. Now, do I think we could have, you know, no cameras in there until the jury is seated so that we can keep things, you know, keep from poisoning the jury? But it was a high profile thing in an area where not a lot of high profile things happen, right? I mean, not a lot of things. This is one of the top stories. We're going to get into the top stories of the top 10 stories of 2025 of Southern Utah. Now I realize that Provo is, you know, part of the Wasatch Front, and it's part of the Salt Lake area, and there's a lot of local big stories, but I mean, this is probably the biggest story of the year, right? I mean, this is the biggest thing to happen, and it seems like everybody's tuned into it. So can you find jurors enough that have no opinion going into it, have not already either convicted or acquitted Tyler Robinson going into this trial? And does the cameras in the courtroom, at least in the pretrial, I would think that having no cameras and in the pretrial keep things from going too crazy with it, because what you see is, like she just said, you see these images of Tyler Robinson smiling, and it makes everybody go, oh, I'm suddenly infuriated. Well, if he's innocent until proven guilty, you have to be impartial with it. And so these pre-trial images of Tyler Robinson smiling at the defense table is certainly infuriating to some people. You can't deny it. In my opinion, I think you should have no cameras in the courtroom leading up to the trial, and then you could do it afterward and sequester the jury. Now, do I hope it goes as long as the OJ trial? I sure don't. That was a year long, over a year, wasn't it? Wasn't it over a year long trial? And nobody needs that. I don't think the world has the attention span for that anymore. I think if OJ were to be tried today, I don't think America 2025 has the attention span for it. Back in the as the internet was just starting to come on, we didn't have TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or probably 50,000 other things to distract us. I think the OJ trial lasts a month, maybe. If OJ were tried today, I think OJ trial goes a month. 435-261-4540. The text line is open. You can also call up 673-5890. We'll spend a few more minutes on this before we move into the top 10 stories of Southern Utah for 2025. Got a text that says, as much as we are quick to condemn Tyler and want to see the hammer of justice in real time, there is a part of this equation where we all forget, and that is his innocent family. If cameras caused a less than just trial, is that fair to them? Not Tyler, the family who is also hurting and being ruined. Interesting to think about. How does cameras in a courtroom for Tyler Robinson's trial affect his family? I assume his immediate family will be there in person, I would assume. I know a lot of you know people who know people who know his family, or you people listening know Tyler Robinson's family here in Southern Utah. I don't know any of them, at least I'm aware of. I know he was a student at Dixie Tech. I know students at Dixie Tech. That's about as close as my personal connection goes. But I would assume that his family would be in the courtroom and see all these things anyway. But how does cameras, and I'm just thinking through this in real time, according to this text, how does the cameras in the courtroom affect Tyler Robinson's family? And what was the family who is also hurting and being ruined? How does it affect them? Things to think about right there. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Again, you can text me 435-261-4540. The number to text in, the phone lines 673-5890. Again, my friend who is a former judge said he hesitates. He would hesitate and has hesitated in things to allow courtroom, because it ends up being less about trying the case and it becomes more about posturing for the cameras and running for governor for these lawyers, running for city or county attorney or attorney general in the state, or further and further Congress, Senate, state Congress, whatever. A lot of these lawyers end up looking for the next step. They want to get out of doing the trial thing and look into getting into public service and into lawmaking or running for governor. And this is a good launch pad. And if they have a camera, even better, because then that puts them on the national level for future presidents, for future people that are in the spot to appoint them to a place. Oh, I know that guy. I remember seeing him on that trial. So it ends up being less about trying the case a la OJ and the Kardashians, and more about posturing. All right, let's take a quick break. KDXU News Time is 9:28. I'm telling you guys, a lot to think about here. You can always text me 435-261-4540. You can call up 673-5890. Coming up on the back end of the break, we're going to look at the top 10 stories. We're going to revisit this as well, believe it or not. This story is in the top 10. The top 10 stories from 2025 for Southern Utah. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. KDXU News Time, 9:28. The ones who died without a name. KDXU News Time, 9:34. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dale Desmond. This is Southern U Talk, where we want to hear from you, want to hear your thoughts, what's going through your brains, what's going through your hearts, going into the new year. We wrap up 2025, and I was doing some research over the last few days and went over to look at the top news stories from 2025. Relating to Southern Utah. Now, I want you to think about, okay, if you all the way back to January 1st, 2025, 364 days ago or whatever it is, 364 days ago. What do you think are the top stories? Running through your head really quick as you're driving down Bluff Street or wherever you're at on I-15 or down the boulevard. What do you think? I mean, I'm sure that you can think of the top probably two or three, and you'd be right. Let me run down some of these, and when I'm done, I'm curious if you guys think we missed any. Our crack research staff missed any. Number 10, news story of 2025 here in Southern Utah. Infrastructure milestones like the new City Hall and Fire Station 1 here in St. George. $9 million fire station on Flood Street. They tore down that church. Took forever to build that thing, I felt like. And they're saying infrastructure milestones. Here's what the crack team is looking at. Not just the fire hall station to the new town, the new city hall at Town Square, but also the work that's already begun on the Dixie Sun Bowl and what that's going to become. That's story number 10 in Southern Utah for 2025. Now, they're looking at the city hall and the fire station as completed projects is what we're looking at. So I'm, you know, we don't actually, we'll look at, so don't be surprised if in 2026, the Dixie Sun Bowl, we see that pop up at this time next year. Number 9, big story of 2026, of 2025 for Southern Utah, St. George Regional Airport announces the set all-time record, surpassed 350,000 annual passengers for the first time, expanded by direct flight options to Dallas, Phoenix, Denver, of course, Salt Lake, L.A. Is that coming back? I'm just saying, I haven't flown to L.A. from St. George, but that is always a great time. But also, not just that, but it's also the announcement and the groundbreaking of the control tower at SGU. That's exciting. But also, 350,000 passengers. You can bet we're going to be sitting right here in a year from now, assuming I'm still here and they haven't fired me. I'll bet you we are close to 500,000 passengers through St. George Regional Airport. With the upgrades going on, I will bet, and I want to write this down on a piece of paper. We can revisit this in a year, okay, guys? I'm going to say we're going to be between 450 and 500,000 annual passengers at this time next year. That's my prediction. I'm looking into the crystal ball here, the KDXU crystal ball. Number 8 story for 2025 for Southern Utah. Federal sentencing of property manager Blake Cousins making headlines. Not long ago, this is maybe recency bias by our crack research team. 2 years in prison, $2 million wire fraud scheme that victimized several Cedar City residents over a multi-year period. So that's story number 8. Am I missing anything? I'd love to hear from you guys. 435-261-4540. The number to text in. You can also call us up. I'm looking at the computer screen, so I don't have to glance over my shoulder to see if you're calling on the phone. So if you do call in and tell me I'm crazy on any of these, just be patient. Number 7 story for Southern Utah for 2025. Utah Tech and SUU joining the Big Sky next season. That's going to be really cool. What's cool about this is that a lot of these teams are lined up and down I-15-ish. The I-90 corridor, you get into, and I know they're realigning it, but you get Montana State, you get Idaho, you get Weber State, you get, who am I missing? There's somebody else I'm missing in, Utah State is going to the Pac-12, but the new Big Sky is going to be a really cool conference for Utah Tech. It aligns with recruiting. It aligns with travel. There's less Texas trips, less California trips. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how the Big Sky Conference lines up. And hopefully Utah Tech is a little bit more, competitive. I mean, if you watch the team last night, they played their butts off. We'll get into that a little bit. Utah Tech playing SUU last night. All right, number 6 story for Southern Utah in 2025. Zion National Park, their 100 millionth rider. Their 100 millionth rider on the shuttle. I wonder how do they celebrate that? Was it like a Ed McMahon check or something? You know, confetti and balloons and all that stuff. Adding good news for hikers. They reopened Weeping Rock Trail at Zion as well after a 2-year closure. That's after that rock fall, the rocks fly back in 2023. So those are your top 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are your bottom five. Here's your top five stories of 2025 in Southern Utah. The Zion Route Transit Service, the bus service running from St. George on SunTran to Springdale, dropping you off at the front door. That was a big story. I don't know if there's that many people that ride it, honestly. And here's why. I think most people, when you're in St. George, you don't really go to Zion unless you have family in town. I imagine it's that way. Anybody that's lived in Vegas knows what I'm talking about. You live in Las Vegas, you live in Henderson, Summerlin, somewhere in the suburbs. Locals don't go downtown unless you got family in town. And then it's, hey, let's go see the strip. And the locals are like, all right, I'll use my local card. We'll get in and, you know, get a discount. We'll go see the whatever. We'll go walk the strip. And they're like, okay. It's like when we go to Zion. They're like, oh, all right. Be honest. How many times have you been to Zion in the last year? Be honest. By yourself, with local family. I'm sure some of you are like, hey, we are crazy hikers. We go do Angel's Landing on Christmas Day every year or whatever. But be honest, how many times do you go to Zion without visitors from out of town? They come here, they sleep on your couch, they use your spare bedroom, they empty your fridge and plug your toilet, and then they go to Zion. I'm sorry about that last part. I'm not that sorry, because it happens. That is interesting. I'm interested to know how, because the last that I heard, it wasn't very well attended. We're going to have several people on next week that I'll be able to ask about that. All right, number four story of 2025 for Southern Utah. In late December, a judge sentenced Mia Bailey to 2 consecutive terms, 25 years to life. For the June 2024 shooting deaths of her parents. Remember when all that went down, the manhunt, hiding in the bushes back behind Lynn's over there and over in Washington Fields. And it was a big, big deal. That was a big deal. Number three story. And I'm already looking at this and we're missing one. We're missing the SWAT team thing, and we have to get the crack staff on this, at the 3000 east, 3000 east. The fire that broke out, the shooting, the SWAT team thing, that's not on this list, and it needs to be. And I can't believe that the crack research team missed that. The number three story, which probably should be higher, but it's recent. The Charlie Kirk shooting that has Washington City resident accused of being the shooter. Tyler Robinson is on trial for it, allegedly shooting shooting Charlie Kirk back in September. On trial, we've talked about it all morning in a couple of different ways, and whether or not you should have cameras in the courtroom. So that's the number three story on this list for 2025. Number two story, the most destructive natural disaster of the year in Washington County in June, at the Forsyth Fire in Pine Valley. 15,000 acres burned, 14 homes burned. $37.5 million disaster that left Pine Valley Recreation closed. It'll be closed for the 2026 season. That breaks my heart. I spent a lot of time up there in the summers. We all do. Fishing in the reservoirs, swinging in hammocks, enjoying the cool air, Sunday afternoons. I mean, you can still go to the ranger station, but it's not the same as being up in the Dixie National Forest, being up in the recreation area. That's the number two story. And the number one, according to our crack team, that I'm surprised this makes number one. But after failing last time to win election, Jimmy Hughes wins election into the mayor of St. George. And moving out Michelle Randall to become new mayor. Roughly 55.6% of the voters signaled desire for a new direction of the city. Navigates high-stakes decisions, water management, rapid urban growth. Jimmy Hughes, I talked to him last night at the Utah Tech game, and he's excited. Like, I can see it in his eyes. He's excited to move in. He said, you know, it's as far as time constraints, talked to his wife Tawny last night, said, you know, as far as time constraints, it'll be kind of the same. I mean, as far as could be, you know, it could be worse. He could be Bishop, I guess. All right, guys, those are some thoughts on it. What do you guys think? Did I miss anything? We certainly missed that fire on 3000 East. The SWAT team situation, that didn't make the list, and that's an oversight. And we acknowledge that, and I will be having words with our crack research team as soon as the show is over. So we'll get to that. One more segment coming up. All right, I'm going to give away, it is Taco Tuesday, we're going to give away some free tacos, Angelica's Mexican Grill, and we're going to get into SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, just now disallowing soda. Come on, we'll get to that coming up. KDXU News Time, 9:47. This is Southern U Talk. Did you see the sky? I think it means that we've been loved. KDXU News Time, 9:49. Glad you're along, everybody. I'm Dale Desmond. This is Southern U Talk. Got to hear your thoughts, your voice, always welcome here. 673-5890-6, 73-5890, the number to call up. You can get your thoughts on the radio. You can text in 435-261-4540. All right, so last night I went to the Utah Tech game, and it was great. It was, I know it was the old Hammer game. And it was down to the wire. Well, it was down to the wire at halftime. And then, Utah Tech came out, the Trailblazers came out in the second half and held the T-Birds to under 50% and, played great defense in the second half. And, the old Hammer game last night at Burns Arena. So it is Taco Tuesday. And I've got a $10 Angelica's Mexican Grill gift card. You can text me right now. The new text line, 435-261-4540. Don't text the old one. That's Andy's personal cell phone. you can just erase that. Well, I guess if you want to text him, go ahead. Tell him the new guy is awesome, though, when you do text him. 435-261-4540. Text me the answer. The Burns Arena is named after whom? I want all three parts to it. I want the initial. The Burns Arena is named after whom? Text me, 435-261-4540. I'll pick a winner right before the top of the hour. And we'll see if we can find a winner here. It'll be a little fun way to celebrate Taco Tuesday here on Southern U Talk here on KDXU. I'm Dale Desmond. All right. One thing I want to squeeze in here before the top of the hour. When I was a newlywed, I got married young. It happens. I mean, a lot of us get married young and you start having babies and you go, gosh, I'm making $6.50 an hour back in the, mid-90s. And even in the mid-90s, not exactly cutting it. And so you go and apply for food stamps or WIC and they're pretty generous with it. Especially for newlywed couples with kids. We were on WIC, never did food stamps, never did SNAP. It's become SNAP now, but Never did food stamps, but we were on WIC. And I remember thinking, I remember my wife was kind of embarrassed by it. You get used to it after a while. But the whole time we were on WIC, we knew it was a temporary thing. This is training wheels. WIC is training wheels. Food stamps, training wheels. When you're just getting started out, you're trying to, you know, get through school, you're trying to get a new, a better job, climb the ladder. It's not a lifestyle. I don't think welfare, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to hear an argument on it. We can chat about this literally anytime. I don't believe welfare is supposed to be a lifestyle. It's supposed to be a training wheels. Whether you have fallen off the bike and you need to get relearn how to ride it, whether you're just starting out, public assistance is supposed to be training wheels. It's not supposed. Now, disability, that's a different story. I'm talking about WIC. I'm talking about SNAP benefits, food stamps. I remember we had three little babies. We were on WIC. We'd go to the store. We'd buy the things we that weren't on the list. We'd stock up on the things that were. And there came a point, I'll never forget the day, I think it's 6 months or 3 months or something, you have to go into the WIC headquarters and they check the baby and make sure that you actually have a baby and you're actually who you say you are. And so we went in, and in the WIC waiting room, two ladies almost got in a fight. Somebody was eyeballing somebody else. it was like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? And my wife said, we're done. This is our last WIC visit. We're done. We're going to just have to make it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not in here with people trying to fight in the waiting room. I'm not doing this. We need to take a step up. So we decided, hey, we're going to take those training wheels off. Now, the reason I bring this up is news coming out today that SNAP benefits, that food stamps are now, as of January 1st, as of 2 days from now, people on food stamps, or SNAP is what it's called now, will no longer be able to buy soda with those benefits, with the food stamps. And at first, I was kind of infuriated by it, because I feel like there's a lot of people that abuse the system. They use this as a, I don't even say a safety net, but this is their mode of, I'm going to be a lifetime welfare. I don't know what you call it. I'm going to let the government take care of me forever, for as long as I can make it go. And I'm going to find ways to get around the system using whatever means I can to make this happen. And I think it's supposed to be a hand up, not a hand out for a lifetime. It's supposed to be a training wheels. Now, when I first read this, I thought, well, this is dumb. Why would you allow people to just to buy soda? You can't buy soda anymore starting on Friday, I guess it is, on the 1st. Now, it's supposed to be, I went and checked the list of things that you are allowed to buy. Here's a quick list of things you're allowed to buy on food stamps, on SNAP. Produce, right? Fresh produce, proteins, meat, poultry, eggs, beans, tofu, nuts, dairy, milk, cheese, yogurt, butter, ice cream, that sort of thing. Grains, bread, pasta, cereal, tortillas, baking mixes, rice, that sort of thing. Snacks, you can get chips, you can get candy, cookies, that sort of thing. You can get beverages, like, here comes the list, coffee, tea, soda, sports drinks. Now, this is going to change, obviously, on the 1st. Bottled water, cold smoothies with SNAP benefits. Now, I can see somebody that's on SNAP saying, hey, I don't drink coffee. I'm not allowed to. I don't like it. It's gross. But I want to have a soda for a caffeine kick. Now I can't do that, and I have to drink coffee. Right? I mean, that's what I think the other side may be saying. That's what the pushback might be. I just kind of thought of this a few minutes ago that I think people that have been, well, hey, if I was a coffee drinker, I could buy coffee, but I can't because I don't want to. I want to, you know, live the word of wisdom or whatever. I don't like it. It's gross. I grew up in a house where coffee was drank a lot. And I do think it's gross. It tastes like charcoal water. It always has. That's my personal preference. So I'm glad to see that you're not able to use tax dollars to buy soda anymore. Although I do kind of wonder. I mean, I know there's that Mio stuff, that little squirt bottle you can put in water that gives you a little energy, a little caffeine kick. I believe that's allowed. So, if I'm wrong, if I'm completely off base, if you think I'm completely off base, I don't think I am. But then again, who does? I'm more than happy to hear an argument about it. All right, that's going to do it for the show. M. Anthony Burns Arena is who it's named for. We've got a winner for $10 to Angelica's Mexican Grill. Have a ton of these texts coming in. It is Taco Tuesday, and Angelica's Mexican Grill is the title sponsor of the studio here high above Bluff Street. Thank you guys for joining us. We're going to have a final show tomorrow. I'll be off on Thursday, but we'll be here tomorrow for New Year's Eve and be back on Friday. You can't get rid of me that easy. Hoping to get some guests talking about some stuff coming up in the new year that I'm excited to talk to you guys about. Getting those all lined up for you. So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be gone on Thursday. We're back on Friday. So, guys, have a great new year. If you're traveling, be safe. Thanks for listening. This is Southern U Talk with me, Dale Desmond, on KDXU. Good morning. One last time.